The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Every day, the issue of migration being discussed, not just here in the airwaves, but in newspapers, online, on our television screens, you name it. And we see the Ireland is full and close our borders on posters, election campaign posters and placards outside hotels and guest houses on an almost continual basis now. But what impact does all of this have on somebody who, you know, was once a new migrant to this country, but no more? People who've been here for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. People for whom Ireland is well and truly home. Linda is one such person who's with me now. Linda was born in Uganda, but has been living here for over 2 decades. And like anybody in a place for over 2 decades, has made a life for herself here and has touched the lives of people around her in her community and has contributed to that community. She has been in Ireland, in fact, longer than she ever lived in Uganda. Like I say, Linda with me in studio. You're very welcome to the show, Linda. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for coming in. So tell me a little bit about your story when you moved to Ireland.
22 years ago, I moved from Uganda to Ireland. A bit of a culture shock, quite cold. So that was a bit, took a bit of getting used to. And I went to Griffith College for about 4 years, where I did a degree in journalism and media. And I did different jobs in retail. And people were generally friendly, nice, welcoming. There was always a sense of there weren't as many people of colour that time as there are now. It wasn't as multicultural as it is today. But generally, it took a while getting used to it, obviously, because the language, the food, the cold again. But with time, I got used to it. And then I got my citizenship in 2011. And that was like, it almost solidified my Irishness.
So tell me a bit more about that. What was that like?
That was good. It was a long time coming because I think as an immigrant, when you're recognized for your contribution and then you, when you get your Irish citizenship, it's almost like, okay, we see you. And that was a great moment for me because it meant I no longer had to apply for visas. I no longer had to pay the big GNIB fees. I could travel to any country without looking for a visa. And I was practically European. And that was really, really good for me and for my family as well.
Why do you think you settled in? Like, what was it you liked about Ireland?
I like the people. People, I think you couldn't meet any, like, I mean, people are really funny and curious and generally really kind. So for me, and I think it's not different in terms of culture, the Irish culture and the Ugandan culture. We're very community oriented and generally welcoming. Generally welcoming, I said.
Okay, generally. There's times that you're made to feel unwelcome?
Yeah, sometimes. Back then, not so much as it is now. Now it's become quite obvious, especially in the last 5 years, I'd say, since maybe before COVID. I've noticed a shift in people. Maybe the prevalence of social media hasn't helped. I don't know. But there's been a lot of negative rhetoric on social media, a lot of anti-migrant sentiments I've noticed here.
So when you came first, there was less of that, was there?
It wasn't so visible. It wasn't in your face. And I guess maybe because we didn't have social media, so people couldn't freely express their hatred or their intolerance towards people of colour. But now it's everywhere. Like, you open X or Facebook and it's the first thing you see. And I mean, people are making whole careers based on their dislike for immigrants. And their whole political agenda is on the basis of that they dislike people coming in. And I'm like, how did we get here? Whereas 22 years ago, you wouldn't have seen that. You wouldn't have seen people so brazen say how much they dislike migrants or they don't want migrants coming in.
And would people say it to your face? Are they that brazen?
Not really. But would they say it to your face? I mean, it depends. I'm noticing, say in conversation, for example, I have people that I'm talking to that are probably friends, they're neighbours, and they say to you, oh, I don't want them coming in, they're taking over. But they're talking to me as a black woman, and it's like, well, you're fine, you're all right, but we don't want them coming in.
And, oh, really?
Yeah. And they're telling me that. And they're taking over and we can't have them tents and they're turning this place into shanty towns and we don't want their likes over here. And then I'm thinking, but you're telling me, a black woman, that you don't want foreigners coming in. How am I supposed to feel with that?
Yeah.
Whereas I don't think 22 years ago, I could have had a conversation with an Irish person and they tell me, we don't want foreigners coming in. I'm noticing a shift. Yeah, I don't think it would have been.
And when people you know say that to you, like, do you kind of just, have you just learned to ignore it or do you confront them about it? Do you say, hold on a minute, I came here from another country?
Sometimes I do, but sometimes I use, it's a shock. At first you're shocked and it's unexpected. And then sometimes I try to use the humor where I'm like, well, I'm one of those people you're talking about. And then they say, but you're different. You're grand. Like, you've earned the right to be here.
Yeah.
It's them over there. And then I'm like, well, what's the difference? And then I try to let them know that sometimes the way the world is set up is, for example, if you wanted to go to Australia tomorrow to work, you could get a visa and you could go to Australia and work. And it doesn't matter whether you have a degree or not. If my brother is in Uganda right now and wanted to come here, he'd need to have a degree in some critical skills. He'd need to have a visa in either medicine or some really, really high profession.
Yeah.
He couldn't just be given a visa to come here. So people find ways to improve conditions for themselves, whether that's through coming in on a visa or whatever way they come in. People want to just improve conditions for themselves. And I don't think it's fair for people to, I don't know when that became a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this is a land of where people have immigrated for years and years. I don't think, as Irish people, I don't think we get to say we don't like foreigners in this country, because I think most families have had either a neighbor, a friend, a family member who has either lived abroad or moved abroad for various reasons, economic reasons, whatever the reasons were. And a lot of them have been welcomed and accepted and they've gone on to thrive and do well. And why shouldn't that be the same for others? I just don't understand that.
And has it made you feel in the last 4 or 5 years where you've seen more of it, does it make you feel less welcome here?
Sometimes I feel that. And for me, I think it's a challenge of, because I'm here so long, I feel Irish. It's funny when I travel. About 2013, I brought my son, who was 4 or 5 at the time, we went to Uganda. And he was super excited to see all his 101 relatives. And he was super excited to see people who look like him in their masses. But 3 weeks in, he said to me, "Mommy, when are we going home?" And I said, "We are home." And he said, "No, home back to Dublin." And for me, that was a moment. I was like, that was the first time he was visiting Uganda. So every time I travel, I'm always Irish. I'm always reminded I need to go home, and I compare everything to Ireland. So if I travel to Denmark, for example, I'm like, oh, the tea is not the same. I want Barry's tea or I want Lyons tea.
Yeah.
You know, I compare everything back to Ireland. And I feel very much Irish, whether I'm here or abroad. But then when I go to Uganda, I don't quite fit in anymore because I'm so used to the way we do things in Ireland. And then I'm back in Ireland, I'm reminded, well, you're not Irish. And I'm like, oh God, where do I belong? I'm not Irish. I don't feel Ugandan anymore.
Yeah.
So there is a challenge there.
And do you think that's a common experience for people of colour or people who've moved to the country, that they would share some of those experiences, that the sense of kind of having a foot in both worlds, but maybe feeling like they belong in neither?
Yeah, I've had those conversations with a few friends of mine who feel like they never quite belong. I think sometimes you're often reminded that you're not really, you know, those little microaggressions.
Give me an example of them. So beyond, say, opening up X or Twitter, as you said, and there's, you know, KC123456 7 or something says, you know, they should all go home or whatever awful things that you might read on that platform. And there's no shortage of awful things on that platform. What are the little things?
It could be something where, let's say, a black person has done, say it's in a crime, of which crime is not exclusive to black people. anybody is capable of crime, regardless of color. And you'll hear people say something like, oh, those black ones. So it's all of a sudden, it's all those black ones. And you're suddenly put back in your box. You know, you suddenly feel othered and you suddenly feel like, well, what have I done? You know, it's there's this. And a lot of it is subtle. It could be where people say, for example, just today, I'm at the GP's office and a woman, the first thing she said to me is that, where are you from? I legit thought she meant, where did I come from that morning?
Yeah.
And I was telling her and she said, no. I mean, where do you hail from? And I'm sure you've had that many, many times. And it's annoying. But then again, it's things like that throughout the day that kind of remind you, okay, you're really not from here. And then you're seeing all the rhetoric from all the would-be politician, would-be journalists. They're taking over, they're invading. And you're thinking, well, I often see people during COVID, right? A lot of my friends were working as healthcare workers. A lot of migrant people worked as healthcare workers. They did long shifts. They did worked in nursing homes. They worked as home care. Some of them were undocumented, by the way. But they stayed. They worked. They were there. They showed up. And we would all go at 6 o'clock and put out candles in the window. And we clap, you know, thanking them. You know, all these healthcare workers, many of whom were migrants. That's all forgotten. Now it's get them out of here. They're a burden on our system. Nobody seems to talk about the contribution of migrant people. People are quick to talk about we're scroungers and we're fleecing the system and we have all these council houses that we live in that we get for free. I don't have a council house. And apparently if you want to get anything in this country, you have to pretend to be migrant in order to get it. These are all lies. I know for a fact they're lies because a lot of my friends and people I know who are black and migrant work really hard. And a lot of us can't afford to just sit and be on welfare because we've families to support back home. And no disrespect, the welfare here doesn't pay that much. So if you have to pay your own rent and look after people home and look after your own family, I don't think welfare would cut it. So a lot of us work extremely hard in jobs that many people wouldn't want to work in.
And what would make the biggest difference to you in terms of being made to feel like kind of more welcome on a daily basis or less othered? Like is it the bigger things like kind of a greater appreciation for the influence of migrants and how the economy relies on them? Or is it just the little things like don't ask me where I'm really from?
I think just treat me like you would treat Connor or Callum or somebody called Dara. Really. The same way you would treat somebody with that name, Sinead, Murphy, whatever. Just treat me the same way you treat them. Meet me at an individual level. Meet me where I'm at. Let's talk. Let's have a conversation. Let's have the crack, as they say in Ireland. Not everything has to be about... Don't have ideas about who I am before you've spoken to me, before you've met me, you know, and assume you know me before you've even met me or spoken to me. You know, just treat me like the way you'd treat any other person that looks like you.
Linda, it's well put. Thanks you very much for chatting to us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.